Sunday night, Lady Shiv Shari B'tachon. So the Chavis Halvavus takes us through, we'll get to them by now. The Chavis Halvavus takes us through seven stages of B'tachon relationships that a person has. His point is that with a growing awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a growing awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is the only is all that really that there is in the world. So it goes through 10 stages. An infant nursing, then, and his point is as you get more sophisticated, so you're developing your bitachon with Hashem more and more, and you're developing a relationship with Hashem. And so he goes through the infant nursing, and then the attention turns to the mother, then it has bitachon in the father, then a person has bitachon in himself as he goes out of the house, of his parents' house, and he earns his own way. Then he might have bitachon in an employer. And then he realizes as he grows in sophistication and maturity that everybody has to depend on Hashem. But that also goes through stages. First comes like the easy stuff, like when a person gives up, a person's sick, chas v'shalom, and the doctors don't have anything to say. Or in an agricultural society, the Chavis Halvavus says, you know, they know that they have to depend on rain. So you turn to Hashem and you have bitachon in Hashem and you develop this relationship with Hashem, but it's on a low level. It's when, you know, all else fails and you know you have to depend on Hashem because there's no way, no one's going to make it rain. Okay, then you get a little more sophisticated, a little more aware that Hashem's running the world in every aspect of the world. He says there you might see Hashem as, you know, you could manage, you know, even when you're managing on your own, but you know that Hashem's will is almighty, so you're managing on your own, but, you know, Hashem, you know, get me an easier job, a job that allows me to have more free time to be ruchni. So you trust in Hashem and you realize Hashem's Hashem's almighty will, but you're still holding on to what you do, but you realize, you know, even if you don't need Hashem, like, you know, get me a parking, it's like, you know, I can't find a parking spot, okay, Hashem, please help me. And then you say, okay, here's a parking spot, but Hashem, can you get me one that's a little closer? You know, okay, then the person gets to realize that you need Hashem for everything. Then you get more sophisticated, and this is now more difficult. And this is, the Chavis Halvavus says in Shaar Avodas Elokim that the reason it's important to make these lists and these categories about everything, Chavis Halvavus is very mathematical, very list oriented. We've seen that always. You have to know where you're holding. It has to be real. You have to say, okay, here's why I should have a Tachan Hashem. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Not just, oh, Hashem is so great. That's not real. Chavis Halvavus wants things to be real. Number 8, what we're holding by number 8, is really, I think, that's the hardest bridge to cross. Number 8 says, no. We depend on Hashem for everything. When I go to the store to buy milk, I'm depending on Hashem to make that happen. The things that seem to be natural, that seem to be easy, that's, you know, like I said, you know, your first level of awareness of Hashem is, okay, there's no eight, so who's going to make it rain? Hashem, well, I have to talk on Hashem's going to make it rain. No one else is going to make it rain. Then you mature a bit more, and you realize that, you know, even though you do it on your own, but, you know, Hashem is in your life, and Hashem is controlling your life. So, you know, if you're having it hard, he can make it easy. He can help you. But then you want to grow to a madrega where you say, Hashem is in charge of everything, even things that look easy, that look inevitable, that look natural. I want to make myself a cup of coffee. I want to bake a kugel. I want to go to the store, I want to cross the street, I want to get to Yerushalayim, and everything I have to. This is the crux of bitachon. This is where it's will become the most, this is where it will take over your life. This is where, in my opinion, this level, number eight, is that realism, is what we, I think we can reach that. I think the average person can reach number eight. Nine and ten are like stickle wild, as we saw this week. We'll get up to there now, and we'll see the Ramban. Number eight is, I think most people are at seven. Most believers in Hashem are at seven. They have a problem, they turn to Hashem. I mean, problem. Some people are at six. At six is when there's no Eitzah. You know, after the doctor gave up, see, okay, I need Hashem. That's number six. I think, you know, a lot of people, good people, fine people, talking about from people, serious people, people who want to grow, people who daven seriously, etc. They're already at number seven. Number eight is hard. Number eight separates, please pardon the expression, the men from the boys, the women from the girls. Number eight is when you. Number eight could take a lifetime, right? You go in the refrigerator, you say it's only because of Hashem that milk is there, and that milk is good, and I'm gonna everything we do is controlled by Hashem's will, and therefore I and the avoda of bitachon. It's an avoda. It's an active verb, not a passive one. To rely on Hashem, not to rely on the refrigerator, not to rely on the boss, not to rely on the traffic light, not to rely on the driver, not to rely on the manufacturer. You're relying on Hashem. You could back into it. You know, you back into it by taking a visit to the hospital and saying, oh, you know, the body doesn't always work. Right, you take a, you go, you know, you look at people who don't have jobs, you look at people who are ill, you look at people who have all sorts of issues and trouble, and you say, wow, you need Hashem to get through the day. What's going on here? I need Hashem. I have to rely on Hashem to. You hear about someone that had a stroke. You say, wow, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Matir Asurim, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Zakeh Tufim. I have to rely on Hashem so I can get out of bed in the morning, stretch my limbs, walk. Breathe, eat, talk, think. That's number eight. That's eight. That, I'm a sociologist, I never took a scientific survey. You know, from people are usually at six, where they'll turn to, you know, your average guy in the street. I'm not saying your kids are gone cloudy as well. I'm just talking about myself. Your average fellow is at six. Six is I'll turn to Hashem when I have a problem, you know, when I have no other Eitzah, and I realize only Hashem can help me. Then, okay, you know, seven is, okay, Hashem, please help me out here. Eight is already, you know, if someone would ask me, what do I want to accomplish, what do I want the people in a Shara B'Tochan Shir to accomplish, I'd be like, boy, to reach level eight. That's like, that's fantastic. And then you live with Hashem, and you mamashivisa Hashem lenegdi summit, and I'm relying on, and it's an avoda, I'm relying on Hashem, and you'll reap all the benefits of bitachon. You won't be stressed out, and you'll be happy, and you'll accept what Hashem does because you know he's always a mative, and you'll think about Hashem's track record and so on and so forth. All these things are going to happen at number eight, and the Chavos HaVoda says, and then now we'll go to number nine. Chazon says that this is such a wonderful madrega because of all its benefits, but you will also now be Oved Hashem. Because once you realize that you need Hashem for anything you do, right? So then you say, well, the corollary is that everything I do, it's Hashem's will. When I bake a kugel, you know, bitachon says I'm relying on Hashem that this kugel come out good. I'm not really relying on the oven. I'm not really. Right? I'm relying on Hashem because so. And if you need to, you say because so many things can go wrong. See, that's not so good. Then you're slipping down really to number seven when you say that. When you say because so many things can go wrong,
you're slipping down to number 7, where you say, oh, so many things can go wrong. Hashem, please don't let them go wrong. Number 8 is already, you realize Hashem's running everything. Hashem's doing it. Hashem's making everything work. I'm relying on Hashem. I don't have to go to the hospital to see kidneys that don't work, to say, oh, Hashem, please don't mess up my kidneys. Right? That's how most people daven. We say, you know, like, I'm doing okay, Hashem, you know, but you're stronger than me. Don't mess me up. Please. Oh, it's much. Hashem's doing everything. I'm not. So that's number 8. If you reach that darga, then your life is transformed, because besides the bitachon angle, you now can turn everything you do into an act of avodas Hashem. Why am I making this kogel? Because it's Hashem's will. Why am I doing anything? The person goes to work. It's Hashem's will. Chavis HaLodos wants people to go to work. His world, as we say, is the normal world. People go to work, earn money, and the avoda is you're relying on Hashem. When you're successful, not when you're having trouble. Not when you don't have a job. That's number 6. Not when you're struggling in your job. That's number 7. When things are going wonderfully, smoothly, swimmingly well. That's number 8. But you say, but it's Hashem. When you're holding there, Chavis HaLodos says, maybe we should see it inside. Let's see it inside. Then you turn everything, and that, when you're holding there, then everything you do will become an act of Avodas Hashem. And as he says in Ashar Avodas Elokim, he has this whole debate. He actually writes a dialogue between, like, the debate between two sides, and he's talking about if, oh no, in this chapter he doesn't yet, he starts it in the next chapter. He actually goes through a process where he says, okay, there's mitzvahs and there are averus. And there are, you know, in the middle, you know, things that are reshus, things that are, you know, not usur, you know, but, you know, you can decide if you want to do them or not. Right? Then he rejects that idea. At the end of a long, we'll learn it, Mitzvah Shem and Shara Vodas Elokim, he rejects it. He says, there's no such thing. Everything you do is either going to take you closer to Hashem or move you away from Hashem. Everything is either a mitzvah or an aveira, in the sophisticated sense of the word of mitzvah and aveira. There's no such thing as blank, you know, the gray middle, where, you know, so you say, well, what do I mean? What do you mean? I don't know, if I want to wake up 8:15 or 8:30, like, it's not a mitzvah, it's not an aveira. No, he rejects that. He says, everything you do, because he wants us to do everything as we're doing the will of Hashem. So it doesn't have to be davening or taking challah or doing mitzvahs as we know mitzvahs. It's everything. The person going to work is saying, I'm going to work because it's the will of Hashem. The person take care of their children, this is what Hashem wants me to do. And you're transformed into an Eved Hashem 24 hours a day. I'm going to sleep because Hashem made the human being that they have to rest. Then you start asking why. Then you become a whole philosopher. I wonder why Hashem made a person that way, that they have to rest. I don't know. You can come up with a lot of answers. Let's not go. Because Hashem wants to show a person he's not indestructible. Maybe Hashem wants a person to have a flavor of Misa every night. You know, it's a good way to yikes. Right? This is what Victor Miller used to answer these questions. People used to throw at him, why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem do this? And he had answers, because that's the point. Hashem is a meitiv, everything's b'cheshbon, everything's wonderful. Everything's wonderful in the sense that everything's a hatava to us. Everything's for our benefit. Wonderful in the sense of everything's for our benefit. Anyway, in number 8, can I borrow this for a second? Just so I should show you where he says those words. This is the level, you say a bitachon shir, this is the level you want to aspire to and takes your whole life. Because when things are going well, it's hard to have bitachon. It's hard. It's hard to say, I'm going to the makolah, I'm relying on Hashem to get me there. I'm looking for this particular sentence. Yeah. The last, the paragraph that starts the Im Techsach HaKaroso Belokim Ode, right, on page 468, right, the first paragraph that the paragraph starts on the page, right, the last three lines. That's what I want to learn. This is number 8 now. The Im Techsach HaKaroso BeYoser, as he becomes more aware. As the person becomes, here, I'm just trying to find it. Yeah, Yoshi b'tchonu elo b'chol hasibus hakoshem mehen v'hakala v'yechavein b'hisasko b'hen. So now that your whole life you're relying on Hashem in every single thing you do, not just if it's hard and you need help, and certainly not if it's impossible. So you know you need Hashem, but everything. So now, look what he says. And, you know, you can miss it. If you just read the Chumash Halavos quickly, you can miss this point. But this is such a theme throughout the whole Sefer. Oh. The Yechavein, and now, B'Hisaskoban, so now, everything you do, you should intend, when you are involved in everything you do, L'Avodas Elohim, the Lishmar Mitzvosa. Now, everything you do is Avodas Hashem. Because if you rely on Hashem for everything. So. Okay, now we're moving into the stratosphere. Number 9, which we were in the middle of talking about last week, number 9, where is such, you're so in each level you're bonding with Hashem more. I guess starting from number 5, because Hashem's not even in the picture till number 5, the way he sets it up. You're so, as you grow in your awareness of Hashem, you could reach the next level where Hashem's will, I'll call it batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono, where your Hashem's will is so, in level number 8, Hashem's will was all pervasive in the sense that everything I want to do, I'm relying on Hashem to make happen. But it's sort of like, if you think about it, it's sort of like Hashem's carrying out my will. And I have to make sure that I want things that are His will also. But in number 9, there's just Hashem's will. And then he talks, and this is what bothered us last week, and this is what we started talking about, that's why I wanted to see the Ramban. Because he talks as if, like, I don't want anything. I don't want to be rich. If Hashem wants me to be poor, okay. Nothing exists for me but Hashem's will. Let's read it inside. As he now grows in his awareness, everything is awareness of Hashem. As he grows a sophisticated awareness, not Uncle Moishi, but you know, he throws that in because who do you think is allowing you to have the seichel to understand these things and be aware of them? Hashem is a mative. So whatever Hashem wants for me is the best thing for me. So like, why do I want anything else? Tefillah. Everybody's looming question is tefillah. So belibo, v'chushav, you know, outwardly, inwardly, ubnirei, ubnistaro, really, really, we're talking deep, deep, deep. The Yismach Mechola Sheros Aloha Elokim. He's happy. He's Hashem's will. Well, Baruch Hashem. You know, Hashem's will is being fulfilled. Mimoves, Umechayim, Vereish, poverty, Osher, Brius, Mecholi, Lo Yichsof. He doesn't have a desire. Lezulas, only for that which Masher Bochor Lohu Elokim. Velo Yitzah, Ela Masher Rosolo. Venimser Elo Elokim, Umashlech Nafsha Vagufo Aldino. He just throws himself upon the earth. But whatever you say, Hashem, that's cool, fine, great. I want that. I want what you want. For Yagmer Ilyan Al Inyan, for Yivchar Zulas Mashu Bo, he doesn't look for anything else. He doesn't. Minyoni Olamo. Kmo Shomrechad Ben Abotchem Aboteach said, Lo Hiskamti Me Olam, Lo Hiskamti Me Olam. I didn't wake up in the morning and I want something else other than is. Now, okay, that's number 9. We said last week that I said, well, let's say I see my friend, I help my friend out. Like, so there, right? So you know, we know that there's an ideal state in the world. The way things are supposed to be, again, we know that to be sick is no good, to be poor is no good, to have trouble is no good, no good. So it might be best for me in this situation. Not it might be. It is best for me in this situation. But when I see my friend, right? So, let's say I daven to Hashem. So, on one hand, So what am I davening for? What am I davening for? I'm davening that, let's say I'm davening that whatever's supposed to happen should happen in a different way. It shouldn't be so hard. Let's forget about the friend. Let's say I davened to Hashem and I said, it's okay. Let's say the mahalach of davening is that whatever I'm supposed to benefit, however I'm supposed to benefit by being poor, right? I don't want to be poor. It's very hard for me. I don't know if I'll be omid b'nisayon. Let whatever benefits are supposed to accrue to me by being poor in my avodas Hashem, in my taking away onesh and gehenim, and whatever good is happening to me, please let it happen a different way. This is a teretz. You could read the Chovos Halavos and say, no, a person by number 9 wouldn't even daven at all, wouldn't even say that, because if this is what Hashem wants, so then you have to we could simply say Hashem wants you to daven too, and that would also be okay. I think the main point is what I said last week, and I think that's what's true. The main point the Chovos Halavos says is that whatever davening is going to mean, and let's say I just had two approaches to davening, that Hashem wants the act of davening, He wants that also because that changes, that also deepens the nature of the relationship between us and Hashem. The fact that we turn to Him and we ask Him for something and He grants it also deepens the relationship. So maybe that's the pshat in davening. Or maybe the pshat in davening is the other way I said that, Hashem, please let me get the benefits of whatever's supposed to be happening to me. Let it please happen a different way. I'm not strong enough for this way. But I'm in number 9, you could still daven in number 9, and the pshat in davening will be whatever we just said, but I'm detached. It's not a clash of wills. That was the comparison to a friend. It's not, when I daven for my friend, I think, unless it's my best friend, unless it's my spouse, unless it's my child, but let's say it's just a friend, I understand that I wish I can give it over well. I don't feel a clash of wills. I'm making a request, I'm making a request, because, and it's a sincere request. I don't mean Chas Shalom is not sincere, but it's not a clash of wills. I don't have a developed rutzon that my friend be healthy. It's not that deep. It's, I would like my friend to be healthy. Please, Hashem, make him healthy. In whatever ways we understand tefillah. That's how you should daven for yourself too in number 9. Not a clash of wills. Number 9, there's no clash of wills. It's a request. It's a request. Like something, Someone in the shul complained there's too much stucker collecting in the shul. There's too much stucker collecting in the shul with this organization, that organization. I said, I had a lot of things I wanted to say, but I controlled myself. But I did say, it's only a request. We don't call out. It's not like we make appeals and people call out that you're embarrassed because, no one's going to know if you give or not. It's a request. If you can't, you can't. That's for sure, there's no public giving that you have to feel like you have to pledge, and then you have a big problem. Now, some places, I don't think they do that anymore. But when I was growing up, the guy used to come and make an appeal. People, it would be public. I couldn't understand it. Never. I think maybe people were nichshol in making a nether that they wouldn't keep afterwards because they're so embarrassed. Rather, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch says, in such a case, you should say, believe that. When you make a pledge because you feel pressured, you should, or even if you don't feel pressured, you should always say, believe that. Shulchan Aruch passes, even when you're pledging Stokka, always say, believe that. Even when you say the Yizkor prayer, you know, it's a Bahur or Kelmalei Rachman, you should say B'li Nedah. Even though it says, it's a funny word, it says Nodim Staka. So you end up saying Nodim Staka B'li Nedah, which funny grammatical formulation. But it's okay. It means pledging B'li Nedah. Balabatish word no there, Bali halachic no there. That's what it means. Getting back to this, it's a request. Again, what is the again, you read the Chovas Halvavas, you could think, I'm convinced that this tefillah in number 9 also, because his point is there's no will. You don't have your own will. But you could have a request. So we say, what's a request without a will? I know when I daven for my friend that I'm not my son, not my child, not my spouse, not even a good close buddy, but I don't really have a will. Then I become a big tzaddik. You know, Hashem, everything's up to you, whatever you want, you know, that's cool. But I can make a request that he should get better. That's how you're supposed to, that's what number 9, that's what Chavos Halvavos have. When you're sick, when you're poor, when you're having tremendous service, Chavos Halvavos wants number 9 to ask for it on an almost, I don't know what to call it, an almost superficial way, meaning, not that I want my will, Chas V'Shalom, my gosh, Hashem's will, but you know, please, I'm not strong enough for this, or, you know, whatever. Okay. That's why. Okay, so, let's see the Ramban. This is an amazing Ramban. It really says a lot about tefillah, but it also says a lot about. I think maybe a more common answer is that Hashem wants us to daven. So that's what we're going to see in this Ramban. But again, even if that's the answer that Hashem wants us to daven, but the Chovas Halvavos still has to be true, right? So you know what I mean? He still doesn't see on this high madrega, and like the others were certainly on this madrega, right? You would think, right? So again, the answer I'm saying is, I think, true, no matter how you look at tefillah, that he wants. He's okay with davening, but he doesn't. It's not a clash of wills. You don't have a will. See, I don't know if that's even. Maybe it's just sophistry, because if you don't have a will, so then whether you daven, sophistry is fancy talk, but it's not really logical. Because if you really didn't have a will, so you wouldn't decide to daven. Yeah.
Maybe the will is Hashem's din, and you can always request rachamim.
Like my drasha yesterday. but the Chovas Halvavos is so strong that you don't want anything other than the way Hashem's doing things. He's so strong in that. Like he uses such powerful lashonos. I'm satisfied with this. That again, it's not that's the answer. You don't have your own will. So then what spurs you to daven? Again, because we know that to be sick is not right. It's not like everything is hunky-dory, it's all the same, rich, poor, sick, healthy, tsar, no tsar. No, we know that sick is not good, and poor is not good, and tsar is no good. We know that. So I'm davening, let me have the benefit. I know you're being native to me. This is a very, very sophisticated davening. I know you're being native to me, and I know this is going to help me be a better Oved Hashem, or maybe it's saving me from Gehenna, or whatever. Please, I can't handle this. Let it happen a different way. Whatever Hatova you're doing for me, please, I'm requesting. Oh, but on this level, you're only requesting. There's no, you're requesting, you know, you don't want to be poor. It's too hard for you. But there's no clash of wills on this level, number nine. Yeah.
Can you even say, I can't have it? Obviously, even that, Hashem would not say it to you if you couldn't have it. So even there, you could understand. You could say you don't like it, maybe.
Yeah, I meant,
you don't like it.
Why did the Emos want children? Why does Chana want a child so much that the Gemara says she battled with Hashem? He ticha dvarim klape maila. The Gemara in Bracha says Chana was tough with Hashem. She got, I'm sorry, it was not the maternal instinct. It wasn't the biological clock ticking. It was not. For sure not. She wanted a child to serve Hashem. In other words, I want, let's say, Hashem has certain plans for me. Right? Say, oh, well, you know, Hashem has certain plans for me. But Hashem, this is what Chana said, you created me with these Avarim in me. I'm like, what are they, gone for waste? Let me serve Hashem. But allow me to serve you. So I guess a person that's poor would be saying, I know you want me to serve you through poverty, and this is good for me, and it's developing my personality, my character. But a person, it's not good to be poor. So let my service of you be in being rich, or in making ends meet, and not having this poverty, which is not good. You know, that's going to be always the bottom line. That we know you're supposed to have children. The Emos didn't pray for children because they wanted a jacuzzi, a luxury. A woman's supposed to have children. That's what Chana said. You know, Barossa be this and that and this and that. So take it back. Like, she talked tough. Take it back. What do I need it for? What do I need a womb for? So I'm not going to have a child. But the Mefarshim say that she was asking for a child. She wanted, it's like saying, you know, if you could say, transform me into the Kohen Gadol, if you can daven for that. Like, I want to serve Hashem that great way. Please, let me serve you. And that's really, you know, we say, Yehiratzon Mufanecha. Let it be your will. Let your will be that I serve you in this way. So when Chana said Barossa called Tzvo HaShemayim, she was saying, you know, you created all of these aspects and methods of serving you. Let me serve you through a child. But if I'm assumed for, let's assume she was on level 9, not because I want a child, because I want a child that's going to serve Hashem. I want to serve Hashem in this way. I want this to be your will. I want to have this chus. I want to have this chus of having a child that's going to serve you. I want to be the bearer of life of an Oved Hashem. Which is why what the Chinuch says, why we have children. We have children, we're producing Oved Hashem. We're not producing, I'm afraid, nachas. It's nice to have nachas, everybody wants, but we're not producing nachas. It's a harsh thing to say, and I apologize for it, but the chinuch says you have children to produce over the Hashem. So when the Imohos wanted a child so desperately, they wanted to be Oved Hashem in that way. But again, getting back to Kodesh, it's not a clash of wills. But the Ramban takes it to a new level. You know, the idea of davening for it, because I have to ask you for a favor, please. I'm going to stop here because Shmuel Katz is making a bar mitzvah, and he has a shiur in the shul, and I want to show my hakaras hatov. He gives a shiur in the shul every night, and it fills up the Beis Medrash very, you know. And his son's making a siyum right now, so I want to be there for the siyum. So I want to leave early because I want to express my karsa tov that he gives a shiur in the night. I'm sure he has a whole chabura. So I'm sorry about the Ramban. We'll take it from here.
Should we take a break for next week?
I don't want to. I want to finish. No, Reverend gave up on the arrangement. She can't even get me to take off for a Shabbos anymore. Except if my son had a girl. Yeah. So if he would have had a boy, I would have stayed for Shalom Zafa.
Well,
we'll continue. We're hot. Oh, do you want to take a break?
No.
We're in the middle. This is like heavy. We're reaching peaks of understanding. Right. This is like, so. Thank you. So, do you want to like look into this? I don't know what you do. You don't give it out to everybody that comes. It's too expensive.
I'll see.
Maybe raffle it off.
You put it on the table and everybody under their plate, they get like whoever gets the plate.
No. But this is, you want us to get one, right?
Yeah. I'm just showing you that this thing exists.
Right.